Good evening and welcome to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. It's got to be Wednesday. It's got to be Wednesday at 7 p.m. And it's got to be in Willoughby, Ohio. That's where we're at. And when I say we're, talking about my long-standing business partner, Adam Sunhalter. My name's Jack Mancini. We have a business coaching company called Maximum Value Partners. And one of the things we also do is talk on the radio on Wednesday nights about small business stuff. And that stuff we talk about, we kind of pull from our coaching annals.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Annals.
It's his favorite word, I know.
That's it is right. My favorite word. What we do, we meet with clients pretty much all day during the week. And the things that we coach on, especially the more salient ones, we basically try to use as fodder for our programs. And every once in a while, we also have guests on our program, and we'll introduce one pretty soon here. But we have fun. We try to have fun anyway. Usually, we do have fun, especially when Adam's standing up. So he isn't standing up tonight. And he's got a suit on again, though. He's got a suit on with a pink bow tie. And I don't know. I try to make him change that, but he doesn't do it. But what can I say? But anyway, we come up with stories that are real-life stories. We don't mention who the clients are who are generating those stories. But we provide the solutions, and we encourage people to call in and be part of the program if they so desire. So what we're going to do tonight is talk to Dana Freund. I may be mispronouncing that.
Freund.
Freund. Freund. Thank you. And she's with Pinnacle Gymnastics, and it's a very successful company in Medina, Ohio, in the Medina County anyway. And Dana's a lot of fun. She's full of energy. She has a good story or two to tell us, and we're looking forward to talking with her tonight. So, Adam, I'm going to turn this over to you.
You are. All right. Thank you, Jack. Yes, welcome, everybody, to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. And as Jack said, we have this month's part of the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Business graduate program where I have here. Dana was a graduate of that, so she'll share her story later on here during our show. We want to get to her story first. And I'm not as worried about the name because, as Dana told us when she came in, she just borrowed the name. It's not really hers, right? She kind of married into it, so it's okay, right? But Dana, how are you this evening?
I am great. How are you this evening?
Fantastic. And she's going through a bit of recovery, folks, so be patient. She had a technology recovery. The first time I ever heard having a phone having amnesia.
But
she had some trouble with the phone having amnesia here over the last week or so. So be patient with her. Be understanding with her, okay? If you want to be part of the show, if you have questions for her, and you treat Scotty Nice, who's our engineer behind the glass here, you can give us a call here at 440-946-9468. So, but before we do that, let's get into the story here a little bit. We always find that the best way to start is to kind of introduce yourself to our audience, kind of give them a little background in terms of kind of where you grew up and all this stuff, but a little history about, tell us about Dana a little bit. A little story time about Dana to start.
Well, once upon a time.
Good. That's a good way to start.
That's exactly
the
way to start.
I actually grew up in northern Tuscarawas County. Was a gymnast, cheerleader, athlete-ish all the way through school. And headed to college down at East Tennessee State. Graduated from there in 95 and with a teaching degree. So my background is actually in education. I have a bachelor's in education with an early childhood and elementary focus, and then actually have a master's in education with a focus on curriculum instruction and assessment. So all of my background was education, and I spent 20 years in a public school system teaching primarily kindergarten and some second grade.
I do children's liturgy once a month, usually with 5, 6, 7-year-olds, and that's only for 15 or 20 minutes, not 8 hours.
Well, that's kind of like kindergarten. You just do it in 15 to 20 minutes over and over again all day long.
Okay. That's a good way to look at it.
It's kindergarten. It's reading time. Okay, 15 minutes later, it's math time. And then, it's a short attention span theater in some cases. But
it's good preparation for getting to business. Okay, good.
Yes, very much so. It was very good. And I kind of always knew that I wanted to stay involved in the sport, had coached throughout throughout college, throughout my first couple years out of school, and had an opportunity. There was a building that had opened in our area with some empty space that already had some sports going, and so I went in and approached the owner and asked if I could put gymnastics in the empty space. And so we opened our doors for the first time in September of 1998 as Pinnacle Gymnastics inside the sports complex on Route 18.
What did you know about gymnastics at that time?
I actually knew quite a bit about gymnastics. Knew nothing at all about business or how to do it for myself.
Not unusual at all. Not unusual at all.
So wait, so you're 3 years out of school at this point, right? You graduated in 95, so 98.
Correct.
You're full-time employed as a teacher,
correct.
Right? Okay. And then you decided to...
That I wasn't
building.
Busy enough.
Okay, all right. Just making sure. Okay.
Yeah, my parents actually strongly advised against it.
Strongly. Is that like, I'm sorry, I have these moments, I'll interrupt. Sorry, a few good men?
Good men, yeah. Was,
right?
Oh, yeah.
I
strenuously
object.
Object.
Right, I object. Well, no, I strenuously object, Your Honor. So they had
did.
One of those, okay.
Yeah, they strenuously objected.
And that didn't work in the movie, it didn't work for you either.
Did not work for me. 21 years later, my mother still works for me, so it didn't work for her either.
Well, she couldn't convince you, but she'd join you on the journey.
She figured if you can't beat them, join them.
All right.
And so she joined me and is still with me, thankfully. So we opened the doors and they looked at me. My parents advised that, you know, you don't own a small business. A small business owns you. And I said, yeah, but I'm 25. And if there's no milk in the refrigerator, I'm the only person that is affected. And it's better to do it now than later.
Because, good thinking, yeah. That's good entrepreneurs thinking.
Well, hold on. So they say the business owned you, you don't own the business. Did they own their own company?
They did not. My grandfather had actually kind of been the entrepreneur in the family, and he had always owned businesses.
So he scared them away from it and skipped a
he
generation.
He must have, yeah. Okay, it skipped a generation and landed firmly on me.
Okay.
So I embraced it, and we opened in September of 98 with nothing. I had a... mom that I knew some gymnastics and brought her in to coach with me. And my mom worked the front desk because who do you trust with your money other than your mom?
Right.
And we opened the doors.
Okay. Now, did you have an idea of what you wanted it to be other than, hey, just like you said, you weren't busy enough, so you wanted to find, you know, but what did you envision? Did you have something in mind, or is it just you were literally looking at what was right in front of you?
You know, in the end, I knew what gymnastics had provided me with focus, with perseverance, with just the life skills that a sport can provide if you do it right. I knew in education I got to see kids 9 months a year, and if I did the gym right, I would get to help kids grow up and really have a positive influence, hopefully, on most of those kids. And it was really kind of where I started. I guess I had some long-term thoughts, but at 25, long-term is like 30.
Right.
Well, you know, so.
That's right. So like talking to teenagers, right? Yeah, in your 20s or old, okay, right, yeah, okay.
Right, right. So I guess at that point, I didn't have a lot to lose, and so it was worth it to give it a shot and see what happened and see where it went.
Okay, and it ties in, to your point, it ties in with your education background, because, again, that's what you're teaching,
right.
I mean, that's what coaching or teaching gymnastics, it's the same
right.
thing you were doing, just a different
product.
There.
Different venue.
Yeah, okay.
So at 25, you opened the doors.
We
and
did.
How did you get people to come through?
Well, we were in a sports complex that at the time was thriving or seemed to be. And so the population was kind of coming to us through soccer, and we were getting the sisters that were tired of sitting and watching their brother practice. So we got some overflow that way from that building. And then about 13 months after we opened, it all kind of crashed down. And we walked in one day, and the electricity had been turned off. And about 2 weeks later, we also found out that the gas was turned off. And so we actually had to negotiate with the electric company and the gas company and ultimately the water as well and get everything put into our name as a tenant of the building so that we could save the business.
Oh, boy, that was a process, I'm sure.
It was a very interesting process, and there was a gentleman that helped us out a lot who is still a very dear friend that helped speak to the companies. He's an attorney in the area and helped us do what we needed to do to keep operating.
Hold that thought for a second, because I want to go back to something you mentioned kind of in passing. Like, I had a sense this was coming based on what you said. It appeared that the soccer complex was doing well.
Correct.
So what did you see that gave you the appearance that, hey, these guys are okay? I mean, what did you see with them that...
It was full. I mean, the building, there were teams playing all evening, every evening, two fields, absolutely packed with people.
Okay. It's one of the things, Jack, you and I talk about this all the time. People will drive by a place and they see, hey, it's a full parking lot, it's a full thing. They must
be successful.
You know, printing money.
That's right.
And so it's not always what it appears. Did you ever find out what happened or not really?
Just the utilities weren't getting paid. So the money was going somewhere, but it wasn't to the gas and the electric and the water company.
Did those folks own the building too, or they were just renting?
They did own the building.
Okay. All right. And so here you are as a tenant and... Oops. Yeah, okay. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. We had parents that actually brought us gallon jugs one night when the water turned off because we had to be able to flush toilets. And
hey, there you go. It's a great community builder,
yeah,
right?
People come together. It's a
they do.
I'm sure you experienced that and felt good about some of the outpouring. I'm sure there was also the opposite with a few. But,
a little bit.
Yeah.
You weren't doing gymnastics by candlelight, were you?
We were not.
Okay.
No.
All right.
No,
that sounds dangerous.
It is very dangerous.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. We don't do that.
Okay. All right. That's good. Okay. So we're 13 months in.
Yep.
All right. And
all the utilities were turned off.
All right. Okay.
And then 2 months later, the whole building went into Chapter 7 bankruptcy.
Okay.
And so everything was shut down. And the same gentleman, the same attorney, stepped back in and negotiated with the bank and allowed us to stay basically until we could find alternative lodging.
Okay.
Now, when you say shut down, how long is the shutdown in those cases?
Well, they allowed us to continue to operate.
Oh, okay.
Because we were a separate corporation from the beginning as mm-hmm. a true leased space. And so because we were truly a separate corporation from the ownership, when the bank took possession, they went ahead and negotiated directly with us and let us operate. We were already paying all the utilities. It didn't cost them anything to leave us in the building.
Okay. So that worked out in your favor. That's good.
It did. It was a little bit. The building was rather large. And there came a time towards the end where, like, vendors were coming and taking their Coke machines and Pepsi machines and all of that out and leaving behind, like, mouse skeletons where the machines once were. So it was a little rough for a little while.
Let me come back to your parents for a second now. So here we are. I'm trying to picture their reactions to this. Again, less than 2 years, just more than a year. Are they going, see? What did we tell you, right?
Yeah.
Was it one of those or were they, or no?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
But mom was working also.
Mom was working for me.
Well,
mom.
But she still complained. You made the wrong decision.
She had a right to. It was at some point in there, I'm pretty sure I knew it was a little bit crazy.
Well, you're like, well, you didn't know. I mean, you saw the same busyness I saw. And that they,
right.
Well, you didn't know they weren't paying their bills, right?
I mean, right. Okay. There was no clue.
Right.
No clue until it was all over.
Right.
So then we managed to, I started calling people. We happen to be on Route 18 between 77 and 71, which is a great area. And I started calling. All I needed, truthfully, at that point was a warehouse with some bathrooms. I wasn't picky. I just needed space that didn't have mouse skeletons. That was kind of my criteria. And so I started.
Mouse skeleton. I like that. I like that phrase.
Mouse skeletons.
Yeah, I like the visual.
It was bad. And so I started calling buildings. And at the time, Ron Pruitt was still down there with his batting cages. And I called him and said, where'd you get your building? How'd you do that? Because he had a warehouse with bathrooms, right? And I said, I need one of those. And he said, well, these guys build it for me. And so he gave me the names of a couple gentlemen. And I called them. I was 27 years old. I did not know that when all of these things compound themselves that you should just stop. And so I didn't. And so I called these gentlemen and said, my name is Dana, and I own Pinnacle Gymnastics, and I'm in the sports complex, and it's crumbling around my ears. And they said, we just bought a lot and tore a house down, and we don't know what we're doing with it. We'll come talk to you. And so they did. And they agreed to build me a building. And my hand shook when I signed the lease because I had never seen that much money.
Zeros. That and many zeros after a number.
I had never seen a comma in a number. I had no idea.
They make them that way? Holy cow.
Yeah, I mean, I was teaching kindergarten. We don't have commas in our numbers.
That's right.
It was, I shook, and the guy looked at me and at 26 and a half, not quite 27, and said, it's just money. You can always make more.
good philosophy. That's very true.
He is still a dear friend to this day, and he stopped in a couple weeks ago just to check in on us and make sure we were still doing all right.
All right. So we have to hit the pause button. We're up to our first break here. So we're going to come back, and we're going to talk more about some of the early onset of this, but also we'll get into the story in terms of how Dana decided to jump from being a full-time teacher and a full-time business owner to just being a full-time business owner. So we'll talk more about that when we come back. Stay tuned. I'm Adam Sonhalter.
And I'm Jack Mancini. See you at the turn.
All right. We got more Dirty Secrets of Small Business coming your way. So stay tuned here on Integrity Radio, WINT 1330 AM, 101.5 FM, and online, WINTradio.com. All right. Welcome back to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. That's Jack doing karaoke, in case you guys didn't recognize
his voice. That's right. Hurdy-gurdy. Boy, what a great song. Probably 10% of the people. No, less than that. Maybe 1% of the people.
We got a certain market, right? So I'm guessing 60 and over? Probably, maybe.
Probably.
Start there. Okay, we'll see. But anyway, Dana and I weren't sure about it, but we got Scott's got us going, and Jack said, I got it. No problem. All right, so welcome back to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. As we're in our first segment, we're continuing on here with our story with Dana talking about where we last left off. She just had to leave the building that she was in because the landlord wasn't paying the bills, even though they seemed to be doing well. And had just described the shaking of her hand, signing a contract with the lease with numbers and dollars that had commas in them. And here she is kind of going, this is all within the first couple of years of being in business. So then what happened? So we signed, you opened up this new space.
So we moved, and it was awesome. We had great people. We continued to grow. I grew some great staff. A lot of the people that are still with me as coaches came to us in that second building.
Okay.
And then in about 2007, I decided that I was working a lot. And at the end of the evening, I was going to have a bunch of used balance beams to sell. And so it was time to invest in some real estate and build a building of my own.
Okay.
And so we moved just about 2 miles down the road to the building that we are currently in. And bought it, built it, bought an empty lot, built the building to our specs. And that's where we still sit. So the location we're in is actually our third location, but at the end of this one, I will actually have something to show for it.
Okay. So the big driver was it to have that asset of having the building?
Yeah, it was time to either step up and really have something to show at the end, or step out and drop back to one job and catch my breath a little.
Right. Okay. So, but at that point, so we're talking 7 years later in 2007. Mm-hmm. You're a little more hardened at that point. So the shakes to sign.
I didn't tremble as bad.
Yeah, as bad.
That's funny how that is, isn't it?
It is. It's perspective changes quickly.
Oh right. Yeah, very much so.
Very quickly.
Okay. So
well, those are great experiences you went through. I mean, not many people do what you did there.
And yeah. I mean, I don't know if I was just too young to know any better, or if I was just that determined, or my parents might use the word stubborn.
All three.
Probably a combination of all of them.
Well, you talked about that. I wrote that word down, determination, before. You talked about your experience growing up. Did you use the term semi-athlete? I mean, again, your gymnastics and cheerleading. I mean, again, that's more athletic than most people. So certainly, you know, during your athletic time, that taught you those life skills.
And correct.
One of the things that we talk a lot about with folks and with clients of ours, and as we're looking, as we bring clients on, folks who are involved in sports, especially team sports, sports in general, and have had some success, it's amazing how that transfers over. What you're talking about, it transfers over to the work world. And it's funny, a lot of them, and we've had quite a few folks who are wrestlers, okay, and they're a whole breed of their own, too. Not the gymnastics aren't, but, you know, wrestlers are a breed of their own. And they don't quite get it, why everybody else isn't as crazy. Like, the people
right.
relate to, the, you know, losing 10 pounds in 5 hours kind of stuff, or whatever it is that they had to go through to kind of do what they had to do. They just assume that's how everybody operates, and they don't realize that the rest of the world thought that they were nuts then and think that they're probably more nuts now, right?
Right.
And so there's probably some of that would happen. Okay, so people may call it, they're calling you stubborn or determined. Okay, well, hey, she's kind of nuts, right? Like, I wouldn't do that, but okay, you're just
right.
kind of plowing ahead because you can see, I think probably you didn't have the vision laid out. You had something, you could see what you wanted to kind of do, and it was, you were enjoying it because, again, you're working. We're still talking two full-time jobs this far, right? You're still...
Correct.
Right, okay, so you're 12 years in. Well, you're 9 years into the pinnacle, so you're 9 years into two full-time
correct
gigs, basically. And just so everybody knows, you had kids during this stuff, and you got... married and remarried. And
I did.
Folks, she was, I don't know when she slept, but she was having a, she had a life as
couldn't,
part of this
couldn't
too.
Couldn't be very often, somehow, that's for right sure.
I did. I actually had a four-year-old and had gone through a divorce, and that was part of the push on, I'm taking a lot of time for her by working all day and working all evening. And she was a gym rat. She hung out at the gym, but that was one of the deciding factors was it was time to either be a mom more or make sure that I had something in the end for her if I couldn't be with her all the time.
Right, okay.
So
that's a great motivator, and it's unusual. A lot of kids grow up in their family business, and that's just part of what right they know, and most of them talk very fondly about it. I'm sure your daughter probably does too. And
she actually works for me now.
Oh.
So
all right, so it didn't skip. Okay, so it skipped from the grandparent, it skipped your parent, and then went to you, but it's not skipping from you. It's going right to, okay.
Well, it kind of went around the loop to my parents. Because now they're like my maintenance guy and my front desk manager. So it tried to skip them, but they got sucked back in.
All right. So maintenance, front desk. What's your daughter? Is she a coach?
They are coaching, yeah. Two all of them right are coaching for me now.
Wow. So full. Okay. So that's four family members as well. So you got other family members?
My oldest worked for me for a while.
Okay.
So, yeah, this is number four and number five that have been employed.
Good. All right. True family business. That's good. So you're making converts of all of them. Show them the ways that things should be.
Yeah, I hope so. If nothing else, it'll teach them how to have a job. You know, when my kids work for me, they don't report to me. They report to my manager because I don't want them to play the mom card.
That's good.
Hopefully they'll get some life skills out of it.
Well, when they come to you with a crazy idea, you'll encourage them, unlike what happened with you.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. Depends how crazy it is.
Didn't you learn anything from me, folks? You know, you're watching grow up through all this and, you know, how nuts you thought it was. Now you think I was sane. Okay, hey, that's time kind of heals all wounds or kind of eases
might
some of that stuff.
They're still teenagers. I'm crazy right now.
Oh. I got a couple of those too. I know what you're talking about. So, all right. So we're 07. You're not in your building.
We are
separate. Your own building.
January of 08, we finished construction and moved in.
That same building you guys are in now.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
All
so
right,
we've been there 11 and a half years.
And the place is packed. I know we were there a few months ago. It was packed then, and then
it is packed.
Looking to expand beyond
we're,
that.
We're looking for inches right now. It's not a matter of feet. It's we're squeezing inches out all of that right building right now.
All right. So 20 years in, it's looking pretty good. Now let me step back though. So at what point did we get that crossroads where all of a sudden you decided it was a good idea to quit your day job and go full time at this thing?
Sometimes I still question how good of an idea. There are days. That was May of 2016, and I had, during that time, 2011, I got remarried, and my husband had three from his first marriage, and then I had the one, and so we had four kiddos and chose to add another one. So my children range in age from 6 to 21, and the oldest was getting ready to graduate high school, and the youngest was starting preschool. And I just, you know, I think when you have one at the top end of that high school getting ready to leave for college, you realize how fast time really does fly.
Sure, absolutely.
And I didn't want to miss it all.
Right.
And so it was time to, teaching is awesome in the summer, but as anybody in the teaching profession will tell you, even the summers aren't easy because you're constantly doing continuing education and training and classes. And during the school year, it's actually a lot harder to call off than it is to suck it up and go in. And so my kids were homesick. My kids had appointments. It wasn't me that was able to be there. Two of my kids are competitive skaters, and they skate at a pretty decent level. We've traveled a lot with them. There were competitions I was missing. There were moments I was missing. And I wanted to be able to be there because we don't get those times back. I don't get to do a do-over on raising my kids.
Right.
So... May of 2016, the last day of school, my husband looked at me and said, "You have my blessing." So I ran to my principal's office and said, "I have his blessing.
You ran. Okay.
I'm telling you now so that he can't change his mind."
He committed to it, right?
That's he committed.
Good. So he's in. All right, good. So that was it. And so that, and how long had that, I'll call it a negotiation, been going on in terms of?
About a year.
About a year. Okay. All right.
Not bad. Yeah.
Well, he probably knew he had a year, because he knew if he got into the next year that you wouldn't quit mid-year probably. So he figured
right.
He had it until the end. So he had to make it through that first summer, then he was okay, right?
Correct. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Once I started the school year, I was committed.
Right. So then you wore him down. Or he saw the light. He just see. Well, your point.
I think we go back to stubborn and determined and all of those characteristics
again.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
I was going to say, I bet they played a part in this.
I think we revisit those, yeah.
Okay, so 3 years ago then. A little bit
Correct.
More 3 years ago. Okay, so 3 years full time. All right. So how was the adjustment? Because, again, here you had, during the day you were doing the school stuff. Obviously, grade pay, all things that the teachers do. So all of a sudden you had an additional...
I had
50,
Sundays.
60 hours a week? Oh, okay. You had Sundays.
I had Sundays for the first time in my life. I had Sundays.
All right.
Sundays had always been spent lesson planning and working and grading papers and doing, working on in the grade book. And I think that was my biggest aha moment, was that I wasn't doing lesson plans every Sunday.
Nice. And it's a big relief.
Huge.
Huge relief. All right. Now, you said before we got in the air that you're more busy now. You think you might be more busy now than you were. And that's not just necessarily business. Like you gave a little hint about it in terms of the kids being active
yes.
and stuff kind of going on and everything else. But it's amazing how the time
it
frees and fills up very quickly, right? That's not necessarily a bad thing.
No, it's not. And that was the whole goal, was to be able to be that person for my kids. I can go volunteer at school, which is kind of ironic. I gave up getting paid for it, and now I go
going to
visit.
So to go from people, when you introduced yourself 15 years ago, it was like, hi, I'm a teacher, or it was depending who you talk to, versus I'm a, I own a gym over here teaching gymnastics, or, and so it's a transition to stop saying you're a teacher. Was that difficult?
Yeah, it is, actually. It is, because, being a gymnastics coach isn't always the most glamorous, and owning a gymnastics club, most people are like, oh, okay.
They're not quite sure, right? Yeah,
because there's a ton of different sizes and a ton of different involvement levels at that, and so I'm not sure that it carries the glamour or the prestige. It's a little bit unknown. Everybody knows a teacher. Everybody
right.
knows what teachers do,
right?
Or at least thinks they know what teachers do. Everybody's been in a classroom,
right?
At once or twice, and so it's the unknown of people not really knowing what you are or what you do.
Right.
Being a teacher is calm. It's normal.
Yeah, very clear. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, good. All right. Well, we're up against our second break. Again, it's flying along as it always does. So when we come back, we're going to have our Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Business segment, and we're going to talk about how Dana found out about it and what she got out of it and what she enjoyed about it. So we're going to hear more about that and more of Dana's story when we come back. So stay tuned. I'm Adam Sunhalter.
And I'm Jack Mancini.
And stick around. We got more Dirty Secrets of Small Business coming your way here on Integrity Radio, WINT 1330 AM, 101.5 FM, and online, WINTradio.com. All right. Welcome back to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. I'm Adam Sunhalter.
And I am Jack Mancini. We're coming into segment three here.
We are.
Looking forward to hearing all about this.
That's right. This is our Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Business segment. And we've got Dana here to talk about her experience with the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Business program. So, Dana, first of all, how did you hear about this program?
There was a gentleman that did our team pictures, actually, that had graduated, I believe, from cohort 10. And he had mentioned the program to me and then ultimately ended up recommending me to the program. So I went through the interview process. Goldman Sachs was actually part of the deciding factor in leaving teaching. I had been accepted to cohort 12, actually, which was the summer cohort of 2016. But the first 2 days of the cohort were my last 2 days of teaching. And so that wasn't going to be an option. So I deferred to cohort 13 with the hopes that my husband would give me his blessing, believe it or not. And so Goldman Sachs, the 10KSB program, was part of the deciding factor, and it was amazing.
What did the photographer tell you about it? What did you think you were going to get out of it? What were you excited to something hit you where you said, hey, this sounds like it's for me.
For me, the biggest piece was I had never taken a business class.
Okay.
I had no idea what I was doing other than enough to know that what I was doing seemed to be working to that point in a logical sense, right? I had, you know, our student population had grown. I owned my own building now. From a logical stance, everything was working, but I had no idea how or why or how to measure to make sure that it was still working. So initially, my intrigue with 10KSB was, hey, now that I've done this for 18 years, maybe I should actually figure out what I'm doing.
What a great place to be, finally.
Right.
That's good.
Yeah, it's one of those things. So we were talking before we got on the air about college and stuff like that. I won't go into detail on that, but it's a shame that we have a lot of clients or other owners we've met that either have no college or little college, or maybe they have a college degree but it wasn't business, and they felt that, you know, and they've been in business for a decade or a couple of decades, and they still feel inferior, like, all of a sudden, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. It's like, well, wait a minute. You've been doing this stuff for 18 years at that point, right?
Right.
And picture you going in to teach a college course about here's how this stuff works. Well, here again, it's almost like back to school. You ever see Back to School,
yes,
right? Where it's like the professor, they're saying one thing, and here you'd be in the audience saying, well, what's – no. What are you doing when the landlord stops paying their utility bills?
Right.
You come and things. No, we don't play. Well, that's the real world, folks. Right. Here's how these things kind of go. So the stuff you'd probably been through. So I just want to get that out, because a lot of people, I think, listening probably may feel the same thing. But again, you had all kinds of great knowledge, and it probably came through as you started to go through the cohort, I'm going to guess.
Parts of it. You know, they do a fantastic job of breaking the program up into segments. And so for me, the HR pieces seemed really logical. You know, I know how to treat my employees. Although I will say I struggle, because I have a lot of people that have been with me. We have 10 employees that have been with me 10 years or more. And so I sometimes struggle to treat them like employees and not like family. A lot of my coaches have grown up in the gym, and so I've known them since they were small children.
Oh, so they were students and now they're coaches.
So they were students and now they're coaches.
Wow, okay, right.
So we do tend to operate a little bit more like a family, and sometimes that's...
That gets in the way.
It does get in the way.
In many ways,
you
right.
allow a lot more. You forgive a lot more.
And you have to watch how you pick your battles, because you got to be together on Thanksgiving Day, and everyone's going to come in with cold shoulders if...
Right. And
you know, it's difficult. We see that all the time.
Yeah. So it... I think the HR pieces I had relatively under control, the financial statement segments of 10KSB, I was the one holding my hand up going, could you please slow down and repeat that? Could you do that again? Because, again, we're talking commas and decimal points. Let's back this up a little.
Good. You see, and your classmates all appreciate that, because they were probably thinking the same thing. And they're like, I'm glad somebody's raising their hand and say, hey, you know, slow down.
Well, there were 3 accountants in the group, and I don't think they were entertained by me at all.
But. Well, accountants, we know, as we tell our accountants, most accountants aren't very good at teaching numbers anyway. They're good at filling out tax returns. But they miss the boat with teaching numbers, so it's okay. It's okay. It's probably good for them to kind of see, here's how you teach the stuff, folks. Here's what you do, right?
Well, I had the HR part down head and shoulders over them. So
there you go.
You know, it all balanced out in the end. But
that's a trade-off. That's why if you get the right groups like that, it works out tremendously,
They orchestrated our group. We actually, there's a group of us that still, there's quite a few of us that still get together periodically, monthly. We have a monthly lunch group. There's a monthly breakfast group. Our cohort has stayed very much in contact and has remained pretty close. And there's still people I could call any day of the week at any moment for help, advice, sounding board, whatever. And we've talked about it, that the people that interviewed all of us to put our cohort together did a fantastic job. I mean, we were just a cohesive unit.
Oh, what a valuable resource, you know. Right now it just carried to the future, and it'll continue to. That's great. That is.
So, you know, you mentioned HR stuff. You mentioned the financial pieces of it. You know, what would you say was the biggest takeaway for you? Is there one, or maybe there's a couple, but, you know, you have something like that.
There was a lot from a basic business education. The curriculum is meaty. And maybe it's meaty to me because I had never seen a good portion of it. But the curriculum in and of itself is well designed, and it covers every aspect of owning your own business. In the end,
remember, folks, this comes from an expert in designing curriculum because she's a teacher.
Sorry, that's true.
Sorry to interrupt. Yeah, but that's
true. And my master's is curriculum instruction.
Right, so she knows what the heck she's talking about.
I have a little bit, but yeah, it was thorough and it was complete, and I didn't feel like there was any area of my business that was left out of what they presented. So I took pieces and parts from all of it. Some of my cohort mates are much better at reminding me about some of those pieces and parts, you know, like what you don't allow employees to get away with, or, you know, how to draw those lines, or because I'm not very good at drawing those lines. And, but in the end, one of the biggest pieces for me was that I had a group of people that weren't in my industry and weren't in my office and weren't dependent upon the decisions that I made, who I could bounce decisions off of.
Okay.
And they came from we had everything. We had 37 different business owners, and it was everything from a refuse service to a gymnastics club to a spinning studio to IT guys to accountants to a gentleman that owned a consumer testings laboratory for landing gear parts. I mean, literally everything. And in the end, we all faced the same issues and the same problems. And when you take the specific industry out of it, we're all doing the same thing.
Isn't that amazing? You know, and it doesn't have to be as confusing as it's made out to be when you do exactly what you just described. The commonality between all businesses is very evident once you understand how it works.
Yeah, it was amazing.
So was the Goldman program the first time you'd been involved in a group setting like that with other peers, you know?
Yes.
Who were like you, okay. So
I had done gymnastics sessions before, right? I mean, we have our national conference, and I had done those, but it's
in that bubble of
you're still in your bubble,
yeah, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's my first out of bubble experience.
Uh oh.
Out of bubble. I forget good phrases. Very quotable. Out of bubble. All right. So, and I got to imagine too, you guys are going through this stuff. There had to be a certain amount of validation too, in terms of, again, like you said, you're making up as you're going along for 18 years. But again, you're probably going, oh yeah, I'm doing that. Or, yeah, okay.
Right.
Well, that's the way to do it. Okay, yeah, but I didn't think about that. But that's probably a better way. But I imagine a lot of validation coming out that you aren't, you know, let's say you may have felt like you weren't as smart as you should have been in business, but you start to realize, hey, I'm doing a lot right. Because, again, you aren't going to be doing it for 18 years if you aren't doing a heck of a lot more right than you're not.
Right.
But it's sometimes hard to see because, yeah, you're in it.
You're in it.
You're in it, right?
And that was a big piece of 10KSB, too, was to work on it and not in it, and to be able to step back a little bit. And I will say, this far removed from 10KSB, that's my big struggle, because I'm not working full time, and so I have the ability to be in the gym all day every day in a lot of aspects. And so forcing myself back out to get that perspective is difficult, and it truthfully, it's where our lunch bunch with the 10KSB cohorts comes in, because we force ourselves out of our offices in the middle of the day once a week to go back and get together and talk and get a better perspective.
Well, that's, again, a very valuable resource. There's no question about it. You're living proof of that.
They've been great.
Well, some perspective like that, just before we close the segment out, is there anything that you think they should change as you look back? Hey, if they'd have done this or tweaked that, again, the curriculum we know was rock solid, but, you know, anything that maybe, hey, if they'd have done this a little different, or whatever, anything that comes to mind that you wish they'd have done now, having a chance to reflect upon it.
I think the program itself was fantastic. I want more. I look for the alumni events. I look for the gatherings that they still have. I definitely have not learned everything I need to know, and I trust them. I trusted them then, and I trust them now, and will continue to look to them. And those resources, once you go through the program, those resources are there. You know, my business advisor, I can call him anytime. It's been 3 years, 2.5 years. I can still give him a call. He'll still come meet with me. So I look forward to the continued resources that they offer.
Well, it sounds great. And for those who aren't familiar, again, we'll put the stuff in our show notes too, but the price is right. Right, and
for it's this thing, perfect.
It's zero in terms of dollars. They offer what they call scholarships, but it's time. It's funny, as you were talking about the timing of this thing, it was really almost kind of like a detox in the right word. But again, because you come from having two full-time things, also now you just, oh, well, I just got to go on just one day a week, just on a Friday. Piece of cake, right? I mean, I'm used to having to go 6 days.
Right.
One's no big deal. But it was different, obviously, because what you were doing wasn't the teaching of the kids, but it was you being
learning.
A student, right, and learning. But no, it's great. It's a great testimonial in terms of, like I said, it's been 3 years,
almost 2.5 years. December of 16, I graduated.
Okay, and it's the impact is tremendous from that, but also that long lasting impact. Mm-hmm. Your point about the lunch bunch getting together.
The lunch bunch.
It's like the fun bunch. Or the Smurfs from different. That's right. I have random thoughts. We kind of go around. All right. So
Smurfs. What are those?
That's right. All right. So that's our Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Business segment here for this month. That's Dana's story from Pinnacle Gymnastics. If you want to know more, we'll include that in terms of the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Business program links and all that good stuff in our show notes. You can do that. So when we come back, we're going to learn more and continue some of Dana's story and talk about what's kind of going to be next for Pinnacle as well as she starts to go into her third decade in business. For herself. So stay tuned. I'm Adam Sonhalter.
And I'm Jack Mancini.
And stick around. We got more Dirty Secrets of Small Business coming your way here on Integrity Radio, WINT 1330 AM, 101.5 FM, and online, WINTradio.com.
Memories. Hound dog man, I want to be a hound.
Welcome back. Here we are in Dirty Secrets of Small Business, our final segment in the fastest hour in radio on the podcast. Here, as always, we've got our guest Dana Freund here from Pinnacle Gymnastics, and we are going to share some more of her story. Actually, it's interesting off the air. Scotty asked an interesting question. I think maybe the audience would want to hear about a little bit too, in terms of how you grew. Right? It's basically how did you double and double again, and how did it happen? What's the magic wand?
She said earlier that she opened the doors. And people came. You build it, and people came.
It's like Field of Dreams. Is that what it is?
That's right.
Okay.
You know, it's funny. There's a family that we had all three kids, and the oldest has now graduated college, and the second one has actually just finished her sophomore year in college. And he used to walk into my counter. He made the move with us from the second building to the third building, and he used to stand at my counter every day when he would come in to pick up the girls and say, Dana, if you build it, they will come. If you build it, they will come. And when his second kiddo was getting ready to graduate, he would come in and look at me and say, if you build it, they will come. Because as I said, we're kind of maximizing every inch right now. And my mom would just look at him and go, stop it.
Don't encourage her.
Yeah, we do have a joke. My mother wants room for, and it's a sad joke, but my mother wants room for her casket in the next building. And I said, if it goes like this one did, you're getting an urn. Like, that's it. That's all you get. So
wait, does she want a casket where she keep an eye on everybody? Like one with the window on it?
She figures she spent that much time there. She's going to keep watching.
Put it right there at the front desk. It'd be great. Right there. Everybody gets this hat when they come in, right? It's always good to joke about death stuff. It always makes it a little more palatable to talk about, right?
Got to keep it in perspective, I guess.
We're all going there at some point, right?
That's right.
All right. So from the future standpoint, so you mentioned, okay, you guys are bursting at the seams again. So What's going to happen here the next? What would you like to see? Because again, you're starting to kind of get into your own now. 3 years in of full time ownership, it sounds like you've gotten a better balance in terms of being able to kind of you're traveling with the kids to go. You aren't missing the things you were missing before. So
that's
filling a lot of that time and space. But again, so what do you see again? I know it sounded old, so you're going into your third decade, but we're getting to that age now, Dana. So
that
it's
one
okay.
was a little painful. Yeah,
well, three sounds better than 30 to whatever 20 something. It's all right. We're going to it's a proud moment. Don't worry about it.
I had a little midlife crisis, a little mid business crisis. I think last year when we were hitting 20 years, was 45 years old, 20 years in business. I think once I realized that it was going to kind of work, everything was a 20-year plan.
Okay.
And so last year when I hit 20 years, I was like, oh, wait a minute. I didn't have a plan for the next 20. And to be honest, as I look back, I think, I've got babies of kids that I coached that are coming through the program now. And if the next 20 years goes as fast as the first 20 years, I think I'm in deep trouble because it was fast. It was quick.
Let me tell you from experience, it goes very fast. Faster than you think.
Yeah, it is going fast. And so we have actually over the last, 5 or 6 years, picked up some property. We own the two empty lots that are in our development with some plans for potentially building one more.
Okay.
We've had drawings done. We've gone that far. We've gotten some quotes. It's trying to find the right timing. Employees has actually been a difficult part the last couple of years. So we're trying to make sure that when we do it, we can do it right, and we don't reduce quality for the sake of quantity. So there are tentative, there are still aspirations to do one more building, one more.
On that property that's right there, though.
That's right in front. Yeah, we'll stay in the same area. It's okay. It's in the same development.
All right. So because it was a part-time thing for you, did you not feel like a business owner as much until now? I mean, do you finally feel like you're, you know, we were talking a little earlier about being a teacher or something. Do you feel like you're a business owner now? Do you feel, again, you're here, you had your 20th anniversary. You've been doing, okay, so does it feel like it? And or no, it's not.
You know, I don't know what it's supposed to feel like. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
It's not supposed to feel like a job.
There's days that it does. You know, I chuckled with you guys earlier. I know how to fix a vending machine. I know how to fix a door closer. I know how to fix a toilet.
That was your useless skills as a business owner.
I have the longest list of useless skills, and I'm not alone. I think anybody that has a building has that issue. You know, I spoke to a friend this weekend. There's another gym in Western Ohio that was hit by the tornado.
Ooh, okay.
And they're having some trouble getting their building fixed. And because it's a leased facility. And I said, well, I guess if my landlord doesn't come through, I have nobody to blame but myself. Mm-hmm. We had a water main break about 2 years ago. And, you know, I joked. I was like, I called my landlord and my own phone rang. I guess I deal with all of the issues of owning real estate and owning a business and doing all of that. But I don't know what it's really supposed to feel like. I go to work most days in a hoodie and a pair of jeans. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yep.
I for the most part can come and go. I do what I need to do for my kids, which is fantastic. My middle two are less than 2 years from graduating high school, and then they won't need me every day.
Would you call it security? Would you call it, does it feel like security? Does it feel like what? What other adjective? What other word?
Well, again, you're in control of your own fate to a certain extent, and it's on you. You don't have to worry, again, with the job, they can lose that job at any time, whether you screw up, right? Just they can.
Yeah, right. You get laid off from the biggest of companies, and now what do you do? Where just those little unnecessary skills or useless skills basically have filled your bag of tricks like you wouldn't believe. And you could, if you get laid off, it's not going to have that same definition. You'll be in the same place, but look how resilient you'd be and be able to start all over again.
It's I guess it's an interesting dynamic sometimes as a business owner. Like, I look at the 40 people in my employ and know that their life changes if I don't do my job.
That's right.
So it is a different perspective. And I think it's one, if you dwell in it too much, can get a little bit heavy. But I love what I do. I love our families. I love my coaches and my staff. I don't know anywhere else I would want to be. So
have you started to give some thought to it living beyond you in terms of, again, you mentioned you had five family members. Obviously, your parents aren't going to, hopefully your parents don't live beyond you, but that's...
Right.
But with four kids, I mean, is the idea that...
Well, I have five kids, and I'm 0-5 on gymnasts at this phase. They've all been in the gym at some point, but none of them have actually pursued competitive gymnastics to a high level. The 6-year-old just wants to play soccer. So I don't know, maybe I have to put something in so she can play soccer. Maybe that has to go into the existing building. I think about it a lot, to be honest. At 40, almost 46, I think about what's next, and it's part of the decision. And do we build another building? Because I've got 20 years.
Right.
Traditionally, I've got 20 more years to work. So does it make sense? And then what do you do with it? We do have a good reputation in the area. We are strong in the area. And so whatever happens, I would like to see it carry on and continue to serve people. At this point, I don't see any of my kids taking it over. But there may be one or two of the kids that have grown up in the building at some point that want to take it over.
Sure. You got a lot of exposure there.
Right. Yeah. So somebody will come along that loves it and wants to do it and is willing to take on an established program and at some point.
Well, one of the things Jack was talking about before in terms of just the skills you picked up and everything else, I mean, you ever give some thought into getting into some other type of business, whether it be related to gymnastics or not, but again, the skills you learn, where you don't have to be the product expert per se, you know, and so
right.
Have you ever given some thought to something like that in terms of, because again, now you have a sense of how you stack up as a business person.
Right. We had looked at, I had actually looked, there's an apparel company that we get all of our team stuff screen printed and all of that kind of stuff through. And she was looking for a succession plan, and we toyed with that for a while, not being the active day-to-day manager, but, you know, investing in the business. There may be some other options in the future. If we build another building, I would like to maintain the one we're in and do something different with it.
Okay.
I have some really fantastic ideas, but they're a little bit pricey, so that might have to wait a little bit. But I would like to diversify. There's actually a facility in Cincinnati called Kids First, and when my husband and I were dating, we were in that area, and I made him stop because it's about 80. Well, at the time, it was 86,000 square feet under roof of Kids Sports.
Wow.
Now it's over 100,000 square feet under roof. But I did make him stop, and I said, he was like, why are we here? And I said, because I want you to know what I want someday. And he married me anyways.
Early. Right, yeah, okay,
yeah,
right.
He married me anyways. So I would like to branch out. I don't think gymnastics is the only answer for teaching kids some great skills. So I would like to branch out, but we'll see.
Well, you had mentioned earlier the skills that you... the awareness that all the commonality in business that exists.
Right.
You could start almost anything right now, and chances are high that you'd succeed because you know where everything is to be put into place. That's a big thing that you've learned. So, good stuff.
Thank you.
You're more than welcome.
No, this is a fantastic success story. We told you before we got on the air this would be a very fast hour.
Right.
It is. Okay, we're in the last couple minutes of the show, so it's been a fast hour. Because you have great stuff to kind of share. Any kind of words of parting advice or you know, inspirational stuff? Again, you know.
You know, I have to say, if I did it, anybody can do it. And I did it through some crazy stuff. And whether it was the naivety of youth or the stubborn determination, you know, I think if there's something you want bad enough, you're going to find a way to do it. So if you're out there and you're listening and there's something pecking at you that you want to go do, you know, I'd like to think I was lucky that I wound up with people that were willing to help, but the truth is I was just willing to ask.
All right. It's a very good point. I like that, being willing to ask for the help and realizing that you don't know what you don't know, and find ways to do stuff versus finding excuses not to do it. That's
right.
Kind of, because you could have found all kinds of excuses not to do what you did, but
right.
You didn't. You focused on what you wanted to do, which is fantastic. So thank you for being part of the show tonight, Dana. We appreciate it. It's been fantastic. And thank you, listeners, for being part of the show. Hope you enjoyed it. You can hear Dirty Secrets of Small Business every Wednesday, 7 p.m. If you have any questions in between, shoot us an email at radio@maximumvp.com or give us a call, 877-849-0670. If you missed any of today's show or any of the prior shows, you can get them all at our website, dirtysecretsofsmallbusiness.com. You can also go to things like iTunes and Google Play and all those other fun places to get the podcast and subscribe, and it gets delivered right to your smart device. If you do that, please leave a review. That'd be fantastic. We appreciate it. Hey, learn more Dirty Secrets of Small Business next Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern. Hey, thanks for listening on Integrity Radio, WINT 1330 AM, 101.5 FM, and online, WINTradio.com.
Memories of holding hands and red bouquets and twilights trimmed in purple haze and laughing eyes.